podcast number 36. This week it's going to be myself, Aaron, at Azronulation, and we'll be with Adam and Alan. So let's not waste any time on getting those guys in. And that's a noise. That's not what I'm doing. There we go. Let's say hi. Hello. Man, there are too many things for me to press. Are we all here? All present, all happy, all excited for the Nerdable podcast?
Yeah.
Hello.
There he is.
When you start to go, why can't I hear anything? And your mic's hanging out your computer.
There we go. How is everyone today?
Fine, just ran downstairs to get a drink.
Ah, nice.
Turns out 6 p.m. you guys is 10 a.m. me.
Yes,
what a twist.
It's it used to be 8, and I was like, no, now I'm gonna make it 6, so at least have a bit of my evening in the Sunday on a Sunday. And yeah, apparently it's early morning for you, so good morning.
Yeah, good evening.
That's weird. Anyway, so let me. I'm using the studio thing now, you see, so the transitions are going to be much smoother, hopefully.
Nice. Oh, nice.
It's going to be... Let's talk about our first topic, and it's going to be a quickie one anyway, but it's Cuphead!
Hey.
I haven't played it.
That's fine. You know, if for those that kind of are uninitiated in the whole Cuphead thing, it's... The way I described it is like a modern classic. It's like a new game, but it's so like old in its ways, but it's so good.
That's what I've gathered from looking at it, is it looks like a modern game, but it kind of stands with like the remasters of like the older games that have come out.
Yeah.
If you get me in that way, like it looks like it could be a remaster of like an old game in terms of gameplay.
But... Yeah, it would have no problems like fitting in at an arcade.
Yeah, that's what I've gathered from it.
But it is painful. It is very painful.
Because it's a difficult game or because you're bad at games?
No, it's because it's a difficult game. God.
Chalk that up as both.
Yeah.
Difficult in a good way.
Yeah. I'm not being ignorant. I'm just tweeting out that we're live.
They work so hard on the art. That if it was super easy, you just breeze through it and wouldn't see any of it, and that'd be a shame.
Yeah, that's kind of what's like attracted me to actually going and playing it at some point, as I look at it and go, this looks visually really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's...
By the minute I hear a game's difficult, I'm just like, I can't be bothered. Dark Souls, for example.
See,
Dark Souls doesn't have enough to draw me in over the... It's a difficult thing.
I tried the whole Dark Souls thing, and like, I don't like the aesthetic of Dark Souls. I'm not into like the medieval type games, but take the kind of Dark Souls aesthetic and put it onto like the mechanics and put it into like the Surge, for example. That's a bit more.
Have you tried Bloodborne?
I haven't. Yes, I have. I suck at it. Yeah,
Bloodborne's the hardest one. I would say, like, out of the whole Souls like games, Bloodborne's probably.
I've heard, I've been in parties of people playing it, and they never ended a goodbye. They usually end in a loud smash and then not hearing anything else, as I assume a headset has gone through a TV or something.
And a bit, it's, I don't know, like, I liked The Surge, but I don't like Dark Souls or Bloodborne, because they're just, I'm just impatient, I guess.
That's my issue.
See, I love Dark Souls. I also like The Surge. It was okay. I didn't like it nearly as much, though. Like, the thing with Dark Souls is that you have a different mindset as opposed to, like, a lot of other games. With Dark Souls, like, or at least my strat, was when you play it, your first, like, go at the level, you're like, all right, I know I'm going to die because there's just a bunch of bullshit that's going to trick me. So you
find
just,
out
like,
what the bullshit
you just
is.
Go. You just fucking just go through and just try to figure out and remember everything that happens. And then once you find the boss door, like, you die until you find the boss door. And you're like, okay, now I know where the boss is. You just make a mad dash. Because it's actually like the aggro of the enemies isn't that wide. And so for a lot of the sections in all the Souls games, you're actually able to just kind of run past all the enemies and just get right to the boss door. And it's actually not as, like, it doesn't take as long as you think. And so you're actually able to really just try the boss over and over again.
It's getting
But, like, obviously point. Nobody tells you that. Dark Souls doesn't, like, say, hey, try running through the level. Like, yeah, so I don't know. There's, like, a different mindset that goes into it.
That's something I immediately got with the Surge. Like, I got to a point where I was like, oh, shit, I could just dash past this person, hop past that person, roll past this person. It's like, oh, there we are. I'm at the boss.
Yeah.
But I never got to that point with Dark Souls. It was always, hey, nope, dead now. Oh, dead again.
I think it just comes down to impatience. Like, I'm the same with, like, MMOs, unless I'm playing with a friend. Where I'm just like, I'll go on, I'll play like half hour, and they're like, yeah, all right. Like, yeah. Nothing really grips me for it. If I play with a friend, it's different. Like, I've been playing through Neverwinter with a mate of mine because we're geeks like that. And it's mm-hmm. more, I wouldn't play anywhere near as much of it on my own.
Yeah, no, that's
but
the same.
Going through that with someone else is a lot more enjoyable.
Well, it's kind of going back to the whole Destiny thing. Like, the first Destiny game, I was playing with it with just me, and I didn't find the fun. But this time around, I've enjoyed it a hell of a lot more because there's three or four of us playing it. But, you know, that goes into the topic of games being more fun.
That's what it would take for me to get into that game, I think.
But yeah, I mean, Cuphead is a great game. Like, when I chose to pick up the review for that one, everyone was like, oh, you're doing it. And I'm like, yes. But, you know, I knew that it kind of had a focus on local multiplayer, so me and Hayley played it, and it was instantly enjoyable. It was one of those games where you kind of do want to throw your controller through the TV.
I was going to say, how's the relationship standing after?
There were moments. Honestly, there were moments. But, I mean, it's a really strange game because it's instantly harder with a second person. I don't know whether you felt that, Adam, when you were playing with Stefan.
No, I found it actually way easier. Because what? I don't know if the health's higher. It didn't feel like the health was higher, so you do more damage. And then, like, anytime Stefan died, I just, boop, I revived him. So that's actually effectively more health.
See, I found it the opposite. Like, I kind of found it more difficult to play with someone else than when you were at the point where the other person had fully died and you hadn't managed to revive them, and then you were going through the rest of it yourself. Especially the run-and-gun ones, because there's a lot of, like, if they go ahead of you or if you go ahead and they're lagging behind or something, there's just this whole just frustration where you're like, just hold up a second, and then you're like, no, I'm not going to wait, because then I'm going to get hit by this guy.
See, like, I had that, but I just wasn't frustrated because fuck Stefan, who cares? Like, he would die all the time, and I would just complete the boss, and then I just make fun of him for it. So to me, it was more fun because of that.
Not necessarily as much the same experience for me.
Yeah.
Especially when you're, like, getting shot down. For fuck's sake, you died again. I died a lot.
See, in this is the problem is, in this situation, you're the Stefan.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good position to be. I mean, I don't know if you've seen all of the comments on the videos, but he seems to be the favourite.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I comment that in my own video. I'm like, nobody wants to see me succeed. Everyone wants to see Stefan fail. That works.
But no, I mean,
I enjoy videos more when there's someone who is constantly failing. It becomes such a nice moment of joking. But, you've done it. Well done. Look how many times he died.
But I mean, it's been out for 2-3 weeks now, and it's hit a million sales, mostly on PC. But that's pretty incredible for a game that we've been waiting so long for.
Yeah, the art style is basically the best marketing the game ever needed.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you turn that game on,
let it catch on. Yeah.
As soon as
you're immediately charming.
Yeah.
Instantly recognizable.
But I avoided it for the most part because I kind of wanted to go in blind, but also I wasn't buying the hype around it. Like, when everyone was being like, yeah, Cuphead is going to be the next big sort of indie darling, and I was just like, eh. It just looks like an old Disney cartoon. Like, what's really appealing about that? So I kind of avoided it a little bit. But then as soon as we got the game and we loaded it up, I was just like, okay, no, this is amazing. Like, wow.
Yeah, the amount of like actual commitment to the art, like it doesn't half-ass it at all. It doesn't just like have it as an aesthetic. It's like fully committed, like every little detail. Like you'll even see like little copyright logos and things like that. You know, it, I don't know, it makes it stand out like a lot. Yeah. And it must have been an insane amount of work. I like can't even imagine. It must have been as hard or harder than an actual like old Fleischer Disney cartoon.
No, absolutely. But I mean, why is Mugman drinking out of his own head?
I don't know.
why wouldn't you in that situation?
This is the
where's it go? That's the question it raises. Where's it go?
There's a whole article. I think it was Gizmodo that was just like what is in Cuphead's head?
Looks like milk.
Yeah. Well, that's the special when you collect all five of the cards. Like, rather than being like, oh, I'm going to use my, like, super special thing, I just yelled, I'm going to milk. Because it was like, we needed a quick warning to know that, because when you do it, it kind of, everything slows down. So yeah, we needed something to say quickly. And I'm just like, I'm milking. But I mean, the level design and stuff, and some of the just the boss designs are really strange. As like, just really interesting. It's like, how do they decide that? Particularly the genie one. I don't know if you've got that far yet. Where he goes into columns and you have to shoot his face. It's like, who decided that that's how that works? But you have to fail at that point to realize that that's what you need to do, and I don't know, it's like, it's enjoyable to fail, but sometimes it really isn't.
Mm-hmm. Like, at its core, it really is, like, Cuphead takes a lot from just, like, the bullet hells. Like, bullet hells, I Want to Be a Guy, Mega Man. Like, those kind of games.
Yeah.
When you mix that all together, that's, like, more or less Cuphead. And it's interesting how, I don't want to say it's not original, but in a lot of sense, it's, like, not actually that original. If you strip away the art, like the columns thing you talk about is actually something I've seen before in like a lot of different like shmups and bullet hells and stuff. But obviously, like with the art on it, it makes it way more unique. Like you have no idea what you're looking at because of the art style.
Yeah.
And so it's like a really good combination.
Definitely. So Alan, yeah, you need to pick it up.
I think I might have to actually.
Just wait until you're near me and we'll play together.
Oh god, that is just a recipe for an ended friendship right there.
That's very true.
It'll make for some brilliant streams and a great YouTube series, but it is going to end up in some form of homicide.
Yeah, maybe I'll rethink that.
Yeah, it's just going to end with like one of our heads of an Xbox controller like, sticking out the side of it.
So I guess speaking of homicide, let's go on to our next topic, which is Humble Bundle and IGN.
Oh no.
What a segue.
It's just the best. So this weekend, I guess it was kind of like, you can kind of tell the reaction that they were expecting by when the news was announced, and it was Friday evening. You don't really pay that lot of attention to Friday evening news because it's Friday and everyone wants to go home. And, you know, news instantly slows down at that point. So Friday, Humble Bundle announced that they've been acquired by IGN, their wording, and they were saying that partnering with IGN is a great partnership, blah blah blah, constantly mentioning IGN. Now, before I kind of dived into this, I thought this is just gonna be another one of those PewDiePie gets fired by Disney articles where it's not IGN that's making the purchase, it's IGN's parent companies and whatever. But looking further into the articles and stuff, it was really weird the way that it was all worded, and it was very, very much like IGN had made the purchase. It wasn't until Kevin shared a Reddit thread with me that had IGN's, I can't remember his name, Dan something, the reviews editor, basically saying that it wasn't IGN, it was the sister company. Yet there kind of hasn't been an official announcement to kind of clarify that. So again, it's all really strange. But basically, it brings the question of a game. I think it's the sixth biggest gaming site in the world has acquired a video game publisher, because that's what, you know, Humble Bundle isn't just your monthly bundles anymore. They've got the Humble Store and they publish their own games onto the Humble Store. So it's just a very tricky topic, and it's sent a lot of people into uproar, and people aren't very happy with the whole thing. So what are your guys' thoughts?
I'm hoping you're right on the no one paying attention, but it's like a weekend thing, because I'm like trying to look up information about it, and they're very haphazard lobbed together articles generally.
Well, how about you go to nerdable.com?
I know, but I can't do more than one source. Like, come on. Obviously, our one's great, but again, it's the information that's out there about it. Like, yeah, you're very right in terms of they knew there was going to be something about it. So let's, like, give it, like, a weekend to cool off.
Yeah.
Sort of vibe is what I'm getting from it. I don't know. It's slightly concerning to me. In a way, like, I don't know. It's a tough one. Mm. You go, I'll think about what I want to say. I'm trying to...
You're like, best case scenario is every once in a while we get like a weird Humble Bundles IGN top 10 out of 10 bundle, where it's just like all this shit that IGN's trying to plug.
That's so going to be a thing, isn't it?
That's, to me, best case scenario is that's all that happens. And then everything else about Humble Bundle is just normal. And then worst case scenario is... that it's that, but all the time.
Well, it from what, like, I have the article up now, actually. So from what, where is he? Dan Stapleton. From what he said is that they're going to remain very much separate, and they're going to disclose anything that they write about the Humble Store, which for me, that's a very sketchy area already. You know, the fact that they're still willing to review and write about games that Humble have published isn't very, very good. But that aside, they're going to be saying that they're going to be disclosing it, they're going to be making sure that when they hand the games off to freelancers, that there's no pressure for them to do like a too much water 10 out of 10 type thing. But at the end of the day, IGN, the sixth biggest news site in the world, gaming site, in fact, has the potential to leverage their own, you know, kind of shill their own games, throw their own games out there, say that they're brilliant, so people that haven't necessarily heard of the Humble Store or Humble Bundle go over and throw their money at them. And yes, they support charities and stuff, and that's great, and, you know, this will be... you know, an opportunity for them to raise even more money for great causes, but there's still obviously that percentage that's going to the Humble Store and to Ziff Davis and subsequently to IGN. So, you know, it's just a real scary thing that, you know, they're gonna have the potential to influence their own profits.
Well, I mean, like, legally they have to disclose that, right? That was the whole Gamergate
thing. I don't think any laws were made. I think it's just that's more of an ethics in journalism type thing, that if you're writing about something that you've had a hand in, to disclose it. That the whole Gamergate thing, I believe, was around I think it didn't center on this Ubisoft relationship or something, I can't remember, I didn't really look that much into it. But that being said, GameSpot own Game, are a subsidiary of GameStop, and nobody seems to have that, you know, nobody really cares about that.
Yeah, I've seen that mentioned in comparisons to this quite a bit.
So, you know, maybe it is a case of people just jumping the gun and saying, hey, this is going to destroy online gaming, I'm cancelling my subscription to the Humble Monthly. You know, by Monday, everyone's forgotten about it.
I was saying, nothing's really come of it. I think a lot of people are jumping the gun on, look, no one's really going to know what's going to come of this until something happens, you know, like they've, this move has just been made, like, give them a chance to actually do something before jumping the gun and removing whatever subscription and stuff.
Yeah, but you know gamers like to react in the most rational way possible.
Oh yeah, no, we do it all the time, you know, but... I understand all the criticisms, though.
Like, the angle you're taking is about how it'll affect IGN. And for me, personally, like, I've never really cared about, like, IGN. Or, yeah. Like, their integrity as a journalistic website. They've always seemed pretty corporate to me. I'm more worried about Humble Bundle, because I really like the Humble Bundle organization.
Yeah, that's my biggest concern, is, like, probably 95% of my Steam library has been through some form of Humble stuff. Like, whether it be the store or the bundles.
Yeah. Because, like, half the time I go on IGN and you see a review, there's, like, an ad for the game on the same page.
Yeah.
And that immediately makes me question the integrity of you just right then and there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think there's always going to be that sort of questioning. But I don't know. Just the way that it kind of happened, and it was like, boom, here it is. It's happened. Bye. Have a good weekend. That says more to me than anything about how maybe sketchy this whole thing could be.
But yeah, I do agree with you on that. Like, it's clear this is not midweek news for a reason.
Yeah, you know, coming from that side of things, I kind of understand that, you know, when something like as big as this, as well, because of the reaction. Comes out on a Friday or even like over the weekend, then you're just kind of thinking, okay, maybe they expected the reaction to be what it is, so they're kind of making it as a light a reaction as possible by doing it like this.
Yeah,
but that's just me.
Looking at the Reddit thread, Dan says he'll quit if like they make him have to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, like you said, IGN, very corporate. Who's going to notice?
Yeah.
The reviews editor going?
Like, who's Dan Safe?
That was exactly my thought. I was like, oh, they have a reviews editor. I mean, I know most, if not all of their review coverage is done through freelancers, as he mentioned, and that someone will come along or they'll go to a freelancer and say, hey, review this game for the same fee that they would get for any other game. But I don't know, I just wonder whether we're gonna in a couple of years time we're gonna get a freelancer kind of coming out and saying, yeah, IGN paid me an extra like $100 to give the game like a 10 out of 10. I mean, I hope not.
I mean I hope people wouldn't take that, to be honest.
When you make your living writing about video games, you kind of...
Yeah, but I mean, there's a time and a place for keeping personal integrity, but I mean, that's me, I guess. Like, I know I wouldn't do that.
Mm.
If the game deserved 10 out of 10 and they offered it to me, yeah, well, yeah, I'd take it. But if it didn't, then no thanks.
Depends how much, you know, what type of, you know, whether people actually genuinely give a shit. But, yeah, that's what happened this weekend. But moving back to in the week, we had a lot of movie trailers, some of which, actually no, all of which I have no idea about. That this isn't me. I'm up to date with like, well, the latest like Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't know anything about DC other than Suicide Squad, and I haven't followed X-Men for a long time. So hey, Adam.
Yeah.
What happened this week or last week or, you know, the past couple of days in the world of movies?
So we got two major superhero trailers, the latest Justice League trailer and the New Mutants trailer. So the Justice League one is very interesting. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with just the hell of development that's been going on with Justice League. But, like, long story short, obviously DC is in a real bad way because all the movies are total garbage.
Apart from Wonder Woman, apparently.
Yeah, I think Wonder Woman was pretty bad. But the consensus, yeah, sure. People seem to like Wonder Woman for whatever reason, even though it's a terrible movie. What do you call it? Wonder Woman definitely is the best one, I'll say. But that doesn't mean it's a good movie. It's just
of a bad bunch.
Yeah, it's the least bad DC movie. But anyway, Justice League. So, like, DC actually had a big shakeup, but it's Justice League is already too late. So, like, the first round of Justice League movies was under some corporate, I forget, executive producer guy or whatever. And they then recently, like, fired a bunch of people, and they hired Geoff Johns, who's a pretty big comic book writer who's done a lot of DC work. I've actually read a lot of Geoff Johns, and I love his work. He's, like, sort of the, what do you call it, the new Kevin Feige of the DC universe. The problem is, like, they're way too late. Like, Justice League, like, it was already done by, like, written and stuff in, like, the old system or whatever, so we might not even ever get to see the light of day of Geoff Johns' system.
Yeah.
Because he just kind of inherited this huge mess. And then on top of all that, with the way Justice League is working out, Zack Snyder's daughter died, and so he left production, and so they had to, DC had to scramble and throw a bunch of money probably to find a new director, and they got Joss Whedon. You guys didn't know that? As yep. in the director of the Avengers.
This is where and I so, kind of came into it all.
Yeah. And so this newest trailer, if you compare it to like the older trailers, the color scheme, like the color grading is actually drastically different. Like it's like the older ones, it's like very blue looking. With the newer trailers, it's like the colors have been like saturations have been turned up. It's like brighter and stuff. And I don't know necessarily if that's because of Joss Whedon coming in or it's just DC being like, hey, we got to be more like those Marvel guys. Be like the Marvel guys and make it brighter. Guardians of the Galaxy is really bright. Let's make our movie really bright. Who knows? But it's much brighter. And like they definitely like try to highlight the humor in the trailer. And so to me, it just makes it look like this horrible Frankenstein monster of a mess. It's just like the tone is just so all over the place. It just looks horrible.
Yeah, I got that impression when I watched it. I questioned some of the choices they'd made in those regards. It was just...
Yeah.
It didn't seem very even and uniform. It was a bit...
This isn't the first time a DC movie's kind of had to have a bunch of work redoing. Like, didn't Suicide Squad go through the same thing because it wasn't funny enough?
Oh, yeah. So with Suicide Squad, they hired David Ayer, who's actually a director I really like. He did the whole movie, and then the trailer that came out was so popular that DC was like, hey, let's just have the trailer guys edit the movie for whatever reason. Because it was so popular, and DC has no clue what they're doing.
Christ.
So they just had them rework the entire movie through editing. This has sort of happened with other superhero movies. Fantastic Four, this happened. And the director like went on a tear. He was like, oh, I fucking hate how they're doing this to my movie and stuff. And then, of course, he got fired.
Don't blame him.
David Ayer was much smarter, and he hasn't really commented. He hasn't said that they've done anything bad, because he obviously still wants to keep working in the business. But yeah, that's like more or less what happened with Suicide Squad. Wonder Woman also has had, like, every single DC movie after like Batman v Superman has had a whole mess of problems. Like Wonder Woman had like changed writers like 5 times or something crazy.
God.
So yeah, DC is just in a bad way, and I don't know. It's like too many cooks in the kitchen. They don't have a consistent vision. They keep trying to chase Marvel when really they should just try to do their own thing and just hire good people.
I think that's a problem that lots of companies have in all different walks of it, is they try to chase like the big dogs and try and do what they do when they did something unique in the first place. It's like, well, just do your own thing.
You're gonna get
further with any walk of life and anything really, than trying to just chase the big dogs.
It's funny because it's not just DC, like it's Universal. They're trying to do their own cinematic universe with the monster movies. Fox.
Apparently, Universal aren't anymore. Isn't the Bride of Frankenstein the next one that's supposed to be coming out? I think they've now said that that's not going to be a part of this monster universe that they're recreating.
Giving up again.
Yeah.
They like rebooted every single movie. And so I guess they're just giving up, which is probably the smartest move.
Yeah.
Quite honestly. Yeah. DC is also, there's been rumblings about them giving up on the cinematic universe as well. But who knows? Like, that's just, DC is just trying to say anything. They're probably just saying things that make people happy, and they'll just roll with whatever makes people the happiest.
Good old Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, Warner haven't been doing the best thing recently. Like, the whole DC Extended Universe hasn't been going great. The whole controversy around fucking Shadow of War, that's not been going great. It's like, what are you doing, Warner?
Mm-hmm. But speaking of other companies, the other trailer, and in general, Fox, who, if you don't know, owns the rights to mutants, I guess.
Yeah.
Technically, so like X-Men, Deadpool, it's all Fox. And they've recently actually just turned their, they got their shit together and they started putting out really good movies. They got Deadpool, they got Logan, even X-Men, which I don't personally like their X-Men stuff. Their X-Men movies have been actually doing really well.
Didn't they finally, as well, with, because they've got the rights to Spider-Man as well, haven't they?
No, that's Sony.
Never mind then. See, how confusing is all of this?
Yeah, it's pretty nutters. And actually, when you really look back, Fox actually has a relatively good track record comparative to a lot of other people. Like, they did X-Men First Class, and then, what was it? The sequel to that, I forget, Days of Future Past or whatever.
Yeah.
Both of those actually did pretty good. I haven't seen Days of Future, I haven't seen either of them. I really want to see X-Men First Class. It's supposed to be really good. I saw Apocalypse and I didn't really like it, but it wasn't the worst thing in the world, I guess. It wasn't as bad as a DC movie, although almost. but anyway, they just released a trailer for New Mutants, which I like, X-Men is one of my least knowledgeable areas of comic book stuff. So I don't really know what New Mutants are. It's probably just some kind of other X-Men related thing. But the trailer is amazing because it doesn't look like any other, like, I guess this is the strategy for Fox, and it's actually brilliant, is like you saying, doing something unique. Like Deadpool, it's pretty unique. Logan, again, like, very unique, not like any other superhero movie. And so far they haven't made the dumb mistake of like, oh, well, let's just do Logan 2 or whatever, you know? Instead they're like, let's do New Mutants. It's like a horror movie. It looks straight up like a horror movie. There's like, you wouldn't know it's a superhero movie if you just watched the trailer and hadn't, like, if you knew nothing about it and just watched the trailer. It looks just like a straight up horror movie.
Mm.
And because of that, I'm like way more interested than anything else. Even the New Mutants, I've never even heard like of that franchise really till now. I mean, I've like sort of.
Yeah, apparently they're a and they were introduced in the 80s. What's their face?
Macy Williams or whatever from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. But yeah,
they Arya Stark
came along in the 80s and they're a spin-off from the X-Men. And they have, I'm literally just reading their article. Their prominent members include Legion, the guy from the X-Men TV show Legion, and the sister of Colossus, Magic. So there are kind of nods to things that are currently going on within that universe anyway, so it's really interesting to kind of, I guess, for fans of like Legion and Deadpool as well, to kind of explore more sort of, I guess, not the main characters of that universe, you know, to get kind of a deeper look. And you know, it's nice that they're giving them that sort of attention as well.
Yeah, it's genius. Like, it's kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy or something, where like they just decide like, hey, let's just throw in some random superheroes, see if it works, and we can make a franchise out of it. This is probably what they're gonna, I don't know, who knows what Fox is doing, but like what they're doing is now working.
Yeah, fair enough indeed.
Yeah.
And then there was Star Wars.
Yeah, speaking of other things that are working really well for people, Star Wars.
Is
so, have you guys seen the trailer?
No.
No, you haven't?
No.
They're crazy. It's
you were the
Star
one
Wars.
Talking most about Star Wars stuff in the chat.
Yeah, that's because of the porgs, that's all.
Yeah.
throw something cute at me and I'm all over it.
I was literally going to say, classic Aaron, see something bloody cute, and he's like, oh, look at it!
Yeah, the porg is in it for like, I don't know, 5 frames or something. It's like barely in it. Like, Chewbacca does his Chewbacca thing, and then there's a little cute porg.
The porg is in there for people like Aaron, and that is it. It is in there for you.
Yeah,
I mean, to make you go and see it, and it's gonna work by the sounds of it.
Well, I mean, I've admitted this before, but I haven't really watched Star Wars, any of them. I went to see The Phantom Menace in the cinemas when it came out, but I've for the most part avoided Star Wars.
you think you know someone?
Just have a good Star Wars night, just watch 4, 5, 6, 7. Don't even bother with 1, 2, 3. Absolute trash. I mean, yeah, and by 4, 5, 6, I mean New Hope, Empire and Jedi.
So these Watch are the those. First. See, this is what confuses me. They yeah, have number order, but they're in date. And it's like, do I watch date order? Do I watch number order? Does watch it matter?
The number episode titles. Watch 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Don't watch episodes 1, 2, and 3.
But anyway,
don't watch Phantom. Don't watch Attack of the Clones.
I've
don't
already
watch
watched Phantom.
Revenge of the
I like Jar Jar Binks.
Well, sorry, it's so bad.
No, but yeah, you were saying, like, speaking of things that are going well, isn't like. That some parts of the new Star Wars stuff going really badly, like the the Han Solo spin-off that's going to shit because people are just getting fired left, right, and center.
Well, here's the thing with Disney is
be careful
their model.
What you're
well, their model has made things work where other studios would totally fail. When you see development hell happen, it's usually a bad sign, but then Disney has always made a way for it to work. Like Spider-Man was a huge mess. There was like a whole bunch of problems with Spider-Man, like same situation, like they changed directors, changed the script, and it came out and it's like maybe my favorite superhero movie of all time. Like Disney, their executives are actually all very smart, and so they know what they're doing, and so the same news for them means something different. I don't know. So I mean, it could be, obviously it could be a really bad situation. Because yeah, they had some of my favorite directors, the Lord and Miller, who did 21 Jump Street, Lego Movie, bunch of stuff. They got fired. And so that's always kind of a bad sign. But actually, the similar thing happened with Ant-Man, where they were going to have Edgar Wright, like one of the best auteur directors out there. But then Ant-Man came out and it was like a success for Marvel. So.
I liked Ant-Man.
Yeah, see, there you go. So, like, the thing with Disney is, like, as a cinema student, it's really interesting because they're basically bringing back old Hollywood. So, like, back in the day, in, like, the 40s up to the 60s, like, 60s is when this system ended. It was really called the studio system, as opposed to, like, more recently, like, 60s and beyond was, like, the rise of the auteurs, the directors. You know, cinema was for directors and not so much about the studio. But back in the day, it was all about the studio. They would swap out directors all the time. This is like totally normal thing. Like they'd make a movie a week. It was like a machine, like actors would sign up and only work with that studio. And like, yeah, it was more about the producers than the director. And like, that's what Disney has become. It's like that same system, like Kevin Feige gets like a lot of credit for Spider-Man, even though he didn't direct it, and so on. And so I don't know. I think that's why when you hear about a director getting fired, it's not as big of a deal with Disney.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So yeah, back to the episode 8 trailer. I kind of wish I didn't see it because I feel like it sort of spoiled the plot points, but at the same time, the plot points that it spoiled was stuff we've seen before. So I guess spoilers for you, Aaron, since you haven't seen Star Wars.
At this point, but, I think it's void.
Yeah.
Does it count as spoilers now?
What you see in this episode 8 trailer is very reminiscent of Empire Strikes Back, and it seems like now, especially since episode 7 had a ton of similarities with A New Hope, that they're, I guess, just kind of doing like a mirror trilogy where, like, I guess they're doing, you know, 8, 9, 10 is going to basically mirror 4, 5, 6, where, you know, each one is the respective thing. And so, like, what you see is, like, in episode 7, instead of Tatooine, you get, oh my God, what's it called? Do you remember what that planet's called?
You forgot.
Yeah. No. It starts with a J. It's like Jack.
Jar Jar Binks.
I saw Game of Thrones, so I'm thinking Hawk and Jakar, and I know that's not the name.
Jar Jar. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Anyway, there's a planet. It's just like Tatooine, but it's not Tatooine, and that's where our main character from. So, like,
there's Tatooine, Hoth, Endor, Coruscant, Alderaan,
Coruscant,
Naboo, Bespin, Yavin.
Are you just reading
Jakku.
A map list for Battlefront?
What's it called?
Jakku.
I
literally just put
right.
Star Wars planets in Google.
How do you spell that?
J-A-K-K-U. There's Kamino, Kayishk.
Oh yeah, it's Jakku.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's like a not desert planet that's not Tatooine. And then in the episode 8 trailer, we see like a snowy-esque planet. It's not Hoth, obviously. You can tell it like looks different.
Obviously.
And I'm sure they're going to pull the same trick where it's not Hoth, it's, you know, Hoyth or whatever
it's legally distinct planet that's...
Yeah. They don't even have to be legally distinct. It's just like trying to pretend to be fresh planet.
Yeah.
And there's like the walkers and stuff, and like episode 8 is generally, I think they've sort of touted it to be like the darker one, which is just like Empire's the darker one. Yeah, and they have Rian Johnson, director of like Looper. He's done episodes of Breaking Bad. He did Brick. He's directing it. So it's like more character focused and darker. And then you have like an Empire where Luke goes and gets trained by Yoda. We have Rey is going to be trained by Luke. So there's like a lot of mirroring of that. But I really liked episode 7 despite it being very similar to New Hope. So I think it's in good hands. I think even if it's basically just a repeat of Empire, I'll probably still like the new Star Wars. But that's what the trailer made it look like.
Yeah, it's not a bad way for them to go about it, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, what I loved about episode 7 is the way it recontextualized the New Hope story. So it's like, sure, it's just like the same hero's journey of Luke, but there's like this whole, what do you call it, like progressive cultural agenda, not to sound social justice warrior-y, but like, because you have the main characters for Star Wars is a woman and a black guy, and that's like obscene, like weird that it's so progressive that it is, like it really shouldn't be progressive. Like, we should be in a situation where that's totally normal. But Star Wars does stand out in my mind because of that. When you see every other movie, it's just a big buff white guy or whatever. It's interesting that Star Wars did that. And to me, that adds a lot to it. Just makes it more modern. And so just having that allows it to feel fresh, even if the story is more or less the same.
Yeah, it's kind of like a original trilogy for the modern era kind of style thing.
Yeah.
Which I'm completely cool with.
I don't know anything about
it. Don't watch Star Wars.
Have you not even seen the new one?
No.
Right, we are having a Star Wars movie night, and I'm gonna tie you to the chair if I have to.
Fine.
I'm gonna tie you to the chair. I'm gonna tape your eyes open, and you're gonna watch it, and you're gonna like it.
You're gonna like it.
This is no different.
And at the end of it, you're gonna admit that Jar Jar Binks was a bloody mistake. All right, that
you saw Jar Jar Binks.
And then you can watch the watch the Planket reviews.
Tiff, I've worked out why you like Jar Jar Binks, man, because he is literally you.
Yeah, what? Wait, no, people hate him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, great to see you, buddy.
Well, speaking of things that people hate, let's talk about the Oculus Rift Go. Oh, the Oculus Rift, but cheaper and with no wires. That's all you basically need to know.
Gear VR?
I mean, so something coming out that's wireless is cheaper than the wired version. That's something to talk about, I guess.
I mean, well, they've knocked the price of the wired version down to, I think, $399 now. So it's like a permanent price drop. But they announced the Oculus Go, which, like Adam said, is basically just a Gear VR. What they're trying to tout it as a middle of the road. So you've got Gear VR, main Oculus Rift, and then in between the two, you've got Oculus Go. But here's the thing, like, your Gear VR and stuff, like, I haven't really seen any really incredible, like, I want to spend $200 on this virtual reality headset type applications going on. There's nothing that's made me think, hey, I want to jump on that. And yeah.
That's what people have been talking about since the beginning of VR is where's the killer app? You know, where's the game?
Yeah.
Where's the thing that makes us want to own it?
I mean,
and there's been some cool stuff like the Rick and Morty game and things like that, but yeah, that warrants the price.
The only thing I would probably buy VR for
Please
is
don't
that extra
say
level
VR
of immersion
port.
In like racing sims. That's the only application I've seen that I've gone, actually, I can see where this works. Like Fallout VR, I don't see the fascination in that at all.
See, the thing is, to have a really decent like virtual reality first person experience, you need all of that shit that you see on those like Facebook videos, the treadmill, the gun, the
yeah.
headset, and you need all of that to really make it feel like you're actually a part of this of that virtual world. Because with Fallout VR, what are you going to be doing? Just sitting on your sofa, using the controller to walk around. So essentially, yeah. you've got a glorified telly on your head. I want virtual reality first person shooting to become that accessible where, I don't know, like, yes, you need like all of that stuff, but it's accessible, you can buy it, sort of thing. I don't know, it's just I want
that's where the sim race application kind of works, because there isn't that physical movement and all the other things that you need to have to make that work have been around for so long that they are actually an accessible item.
Yeah,
like you can get a wheel and pedals at a cheap enough rate, you can get into a good sim at a cheap enough rate, you know, and then when you get the, I mean, obviously you need the PC that can work with all that VR stuff, and that's where the money really goes.
Yeah,
with a lot of that stuff, you know, it's kind of like 1080 Ti recommended sort of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And titles are like racing titles are, I mean, also it's like the thing, it's the reason I'm here basically, but like a lot of them is like they're getting more and more integration with it, and that's where I've seen it really kind of like personally I'd be like, that's where I'd want it, you know, because it's not the physical movement, so otherwise it, like you say, it's a glorified telly on your face.
Yeah, I mean,
otherwise it's like them Facebook videos where it makes you like tilt your thing around, but you can use it with your thumb, but you can do it with your thumb, and how many people have actually moved the phone, and how many people actually use their thumb? No one moves
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some
it's
really
a,
good
it's
applications.
It's a lovely idea, but it needs work or money to make it work with the applications that they're trying to push it for.
Mm. But then even if you want, like, the most amazing racing experience, like, I've seen some of those rigs where, you know, they're essentially car chassis that move around as the game does. You know, they jiggle, they tilt,
oh,
they,
yeah, yeah.
they
you can get
twist, and,
well.
Like, again, it's... It's you're paying a lot of money to get an experience that you could probably pay a lot of money for anyway.
Yeah, but again, with that, I mean, at that stage, like the whole sim thing for me is something. Sims for me is I can do something that I can't do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and like, I think it's just like the closest. Like I say, with like them big rigs that do it and everything, like you know, would love one, but I mean, half of them are limited to sort of, you know, F1 race teams and things.
Yeah.
Or an experience that you pay. Like, I know there's one where you can literally hire it for like a birthday thing, and it's full of like F1 style cockpits, and you all get in that. Even they're not VR, because some of them it's to the point where actually VR is they're so realistic you can't wear VR because they put a bloody helmet on you.
Yeah, I mean,
if you really want to get into it, but I think like just the racing is the only one I could really see where you can get closer. To the actual experience, you know, of actually having to tilt your head to check a mirror as opposed to just having one on like on the top of your screen that's not really there, having to actually like physically do stuff.
Yeah,
it's the closest because with first person stuff, it just doesn't seem to work for me. So I've still got to move everything around.
Yeah,
rather just have a screen that's there and not like right in my face and allows me to kind of have.
But then
less fear of someone sneaking up and scaring the living daylights out of me.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of where kind of Microsoft are getting a step ahead with their mixed reality, because you can put a headset on and then the room that you're in becomes the play area, and that's when you can get some really decent... You know, if they managed to create an Oculus Go type headset that was mixed reality where there were experiences set up, like an empty warehouse, for example, that you could go around and have a proper like first person shooter experience, that'd be amazing. Like that'd be something I'd be like, yeah, all right, take my money, I'll be going to this every weekend. But like right now I don't see how like spending $200 on this wireless virtual headset is gonna be of any use. I have a couple of the ones that you put your phone in, and the early real applications that I've seen in there are like the kind of walkthrough horror things that are great until you've played them once and then you know where everything is. The nature things where you can, again, it's just something that's walking around for you as you're looking around. But I don't know. I mean, I guess I haven't really tried Gear VR and obviously this new one as well to see whether having a dedicated headset that doesn't require a phone being put in it is of any benefit, and what it provides, you know, what it actually is good for. But right now I think this is the problem. There's nothing there that's like, hey, buy this because of this. I saw the announcement for it, I wrote up the announcement for it, but there was nothing that kind of accompanied it. It was like, okay, well, you buy this and you can do this with it. And I haven't seen that. Maybe I'm just ignorant.
No, there definitely isn't. That's the problem with like VR is it's a gimmick, but there's nothing to utilize the gimmick on. Like, there's no, like, essentially all it is like what you're saying, like, it's, you just turn the screen. That's all VR is right now. There's no like reason why am I playing VR when I could just play it on computer, you know?
Yeah,
like there's nothing that that gives me a reason that makes the VR a unique experience besides just like, oh, I can tilt my head and it's less convenient, I have to wear a dumb thing on my face.
Yeah.
And yeah, until there's like something that can really utilize the gimmick essentially, yeah, nobody's ever gonna want it. And like the problem, like the one of the huge biggest problems is nobody's really figured out, like, when you think VR in like movies and stuff, it's always like a first person shooter. You're running around and you're shooting stuff. But the reality is moving is like one of the biggest pains in the ass with VR. Is like, that's what makes everybody sick, is when you try to move independently of your body. You know, you essentially get car sick.
Yeah.
And people really haven't figured out a good way to do that in a game that people want. Like, there's basically like two ways to do it. One, you move really, really goddamn slow. Or two, you teleport. Like, those are like the two trends I see in most VR games. And like, that's really limiting, I think, in the creativity that you see around a lot. And so, yeah, there's no like, also with the whole killer app thing is like, think about way back when with Steam. Why did everybody decide to have this DRM? That's because Half-Life existed.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted Half-Life. So we all got Steam, and now Steam is PC gaming. But VR doesn't have their Half-Life. They need, you know, obviously that thing to get everybody going. Also, I love how Oculus is saying, Oculus Go? What is, am I supposed to walk around with this? Is they implying like I'm VRing on the go?
Yeah, that's people what are going to want to wear this read about out and about? I was like, what do you mean, Go?
Yeah, like Pokemon Go?
I think they might just be jumping on that Go trend.
Yeah.
But yeah. At least jump on the Go trend for some.
I think the point is they are saying
kind of a, you need to be attached to something quite powerful to work this situation. And
even if you don't, like, I don't want to be out in a park wearing my VR helmet.
No, I'm going to get mugged. I'm not doing that.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're out in the park playing a park sim.
Again, I think that's another issue of it, is it's kind of these sorts of VR stuff, obviously there's like PlayStation VR, but generally it is still attached to a computer, which means you're attaching it to PC gaming, and PC gamers aren't the biggest fans of changing things up.
No.
And no, they're really not the biggest fans. It's still, I have a big tower, a keyboard, a mouse, and a monitor, and a pair of headphones, and that is the way it has been and the way it always will be. And the input just, again, it's the control of VR that kind of you put you in this immersion in one way, but then I'm still moving around with a keyboard.
Yeah,
and that's still it's more of a different type of monitor than it is a different way to play. At this point, is what I think the issue with it is.
Yeah,
it's just a monitor that's slightly more inconvenient.
Yeah.
It's a monitor that makes checking your phone really annoying. That's kind of where VR sits at the moment, sadly. Unless, again, like with the more sim applications, or if you you know, people, I mean, I'm sure some people out there who swear by VR for FPS games and they really see the benefit of it, and if that's the case, great for them, carry on with it. But for me, I just don't see it.
No.
Until there's that big sort of step forwards with that, and something that really says, this is the quintessential reason as to why you get a VR headset, and everybody wants it. I don't think it's going to be...
It has to be that Ready Player One experience, where you put your headset on and you're transported into another world. Regardless of where you are in the world, you can do that and you can interact with everything around you. However, how they're ever going to do that is beyond me, because...
Yeah, it's got to be that I am no longer at my desk in my bedroom anymore. I am on alien planet sort of thing.
Jakku.
Yeah.
Just virtual reality. There's
naming it Go is just dumb.
I think it's because they want to make it like, hey, we've got no cables. My subheading was literally, I got no strings to hold me down.
Great, you can keep your Oculus headset on when you go for a WAS. Great, sick. Don't think it changes that much. You've still got to take your headset off.
Yeah.
Unless I'm the only peasant that's still running wired in 2017. I like cables, shoot me.
No. I prefer wired.
I was going to say, again, this is the thing. PC people don't like change. Everybody's still running wired.
It's because it's faster.
Thank you, exactly.
Unless they can create Wi-Fi that isn't hugely expensive, that is stable. But I mean, kind of on that subject though, like, there are companies that are still pushing for wired. I think it's Netgear. They have just released a Switch for gamers that essentially turns everything into a wired, you know, like your Xbox, your PS4, your PC, your any consoles that have an Ethernet connection. You can stick it in this Switch and it all connects through to your router, and it's like, here you go. You can have like enterprise level equipment for your gaming systems, and it's like,
hook me up with that. Will it make my internet any better?
Maybe.
Link me.
I think it's £80. I'm running one at the moment. It's good. You stick it there and you forget about it. But
if it'll make me break that 1 megasecond upload threshold, I'm all for it at this point. It's boy's getting desperate.
The Nighthawk S8000.
You've already sold me it there.
Nighthawk
S8000.
Gaming and streaming Switch. Boom, boom. Dun 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 dun.
Piss me up for what? 92 quid. Sick. I'll get 4 of them.
Well, it has 8 holes to stick things in.
8 Ethernet ports. No, yes. To make everything sexual.
Well, okay. 7, because you need one for uplink.
True.
But yeah. I think that pretty much wraps up the past couple of weeks, doesn't it? Unless anyone else has anything to throw in there.
Everybody going off about loot boxes and video games?
See, that was a strange one, because people, you've got your petitions of people saying loot boxes, gambling. You've got ESRB, the regulation board in Europe, saying loot boxes aren't gambling. But then you have the whole, going back a couple of years to the whole CSGO Lotto thing, where people pay to bet on skins. I don't get it. Like, I don't get that whole thing.
In that regard, like, as to what they stand, technically when implemented into a game, they aren't gambling. It's the things that have been made third party that make it gambling. Because you can't directly sell your skin for real cash that you can go to a cash point and check out and get through, like, CSGO. You can through third party.
Yeah.
That's where it is. But a lot of it is, like, with the whole... There's the, like, loot boxes in single player games thing. A lot of people were kind of up in arms about it on Forza through... Look at all the microtransactions. You can't actually buy them with real money yet, but everybody's saying you can. And just look, like, again, the there's a big thing with the Battlefront beta as well. And that's one that I kind of agree with a bit more, because it did kind of make that game seem a little more not like grind to win, or, you know, and I'm there like, well, how come he's got like 3 equipment slots filled with great stuff and I've got nothing? Oh, because he's got a bunch of loot boxes. Like, I can see it in that way being the issue. Like, if they want to put him in single player games, it doesn't affect the multiplayer experience. Yeah, it's a bit shitty, but okay.
I don't see it as gambling. Like, I get it.
Oh, I don't see it as it at all.
There's the option for you to put real money into the game, but that isn't a gamble. It's a microtransaction. You're choosing to spend.
It's a choice of yours.
You're choosing to spend like £50 on 50 loot crates to get skins that you can't do anything with other than apply them to your character.
Well, it depends on the game. Like, Counter-Strike boxes to be gambling, because while you can't get real money, like if you spend your $250 or whatever for your key, you open, you get a knife, that's like $900 that you could get in the Steam store. And like, that's gambling, even though it's not, gambling legally.
It's weird because it's implemented in another way. Like, for what it is, at its core, that is a skin that is intended, you know, that should be just for your gun. Oh, but you can also, you know, if you want, flog it.
Yeah,
that's kind of the market that they've added into that. In terms of like the core game itself, because I mean, that's something that you can do with pretty much every Valve title at this point, right? I know you can do it with Dota as well. Yeah, that's something that they've implemented in, which is why, yeah, again, and it makes it that kind of grey area of, this isn't exactly dead in the game itself, but you can take something from the game and then sell it through this to get this, which you can then do this with to get this, and I think it's where they get through the loopholes and the whole gambling side of it.
Because it's their own currency. You can't spend it outside of Steam. But, like, I could spend it on a different video game that's completely unrelated to Valve besides their game just being on Steam. And that blows my mind.
Yeah. So, obviously, I've never really bought anything from the Steam or sold anything on the Steam marketplace, but
I've never had anything to sell worth enough.
Do you get money that you just have to spend? Like, is it basically like a Steam gift card that you get when you sell?
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing.
Wallet currency.
So,
it's the same as if you put 10 quid into your Steam wallet. You've just done it through selling something.
Can't you then gift people games? And then this is where it starts to get sketchy, because let's say you get something in a loot box that you sell on the marketplace for like $15. Can you then use that Steam credit to gift someone a game?
That is
one of the ways that people get around it. Is there'll be like, what some people have done is they'll offer up like, okay, I'll get, you know, people sell, say there's a game that you want for £15, okay, I've got like $900 in Steam credit, I'll get it for you for, you give me $10, I'll get it with my Steam credit, give it to you, you've saved money, I've made money.
Yeah, is this where then like, you go onto the sketchy key size? Like,
yeah, but again, it's a loophole workaround in something that's not linked to the, well, it is linked, but it's such a tenuous link to the actual game.
Yeah.
It's just a problem that Steam's created itself in a way in that
regard. It's a problem for us. It's a benefit for Valve. They just make money off of this. They make they make us a gun, which costs, how much really to make. They just market the value of it by making it rare. Yeah. Hundreds of dollars. So people are spending hundreds of dollars that Valve all takes a cut of. So obviously, you know, it's not gambling unless someone can defeat their lawyers and say it's gambling. Like, obviously Valve is like, well, no, it's not gambling. It's our stuff. But yeah.
Though, speaking of earning money on Steam, I've still got one of those Gamescom Invitational crates for PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and they're currently sitting just below $5, so it's looking good.
So you've never sold anything? Not even trading cards?
Nope.
So how many trading cards do you have?
I mostly play through the Nerdable account, so how many trading cards that account has?
Question.
I'm just having a quick look. Where do you find that?
It's in your inventory or whatever.
Look, there's 6 pages worth, so.
So you should sell all of that. That's probably like 20, well, however many year crazy dollars are.
Oh, we have dollars as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, there's no reason to not sell them. They're just sitting in their losing value, is the way I look at it.
What actually is the purpose of them? Because I keep getting it.
It's really, really kind of pointless, depending on, you know, who you are and what you think of things. But the way it works is you take the cards. It's like collecting cards. And when you collect, like, let's say all of them for a game, you can then craft it into a badge. It's just stupidly complicated. So when you have that badge, it raises your Steam level. And the higher your Steam level, you get certain, like, mini benefits, like emotes in your chat, your Steam chat, or, like, your friends list. You can have more friends, depending. Like, the higher your Steam level, the higher your friend cap is.
Right.
Those are the only benefits I know about. I'm sure there's other things that I don't even know about, but yeah.
Well, the good thing is I've never purchased a game through the Nurble account, so I can't actually sell any of the cards.
Oh.
So that's fun.
Well, you can craft badges.
Mate, find something for like 20p, some piece of indie garbage, and just go for it.
Hey, that might be the gem of the year for all you know.
It probably would be, to be honest. It'd probably be better than a whole bunch of games that come out in the past like 5 years of Football Retail.
Well, there we go then. That's been the Nerdable podcast.
I'm gonna go sell a bunch of trading cards.
I've been Aaron, and we've been with Alan and Adam, and it's been a talk.
It has been a talk.
I now am not going to go watch Star Wars. Sorry.
Someday.
Soon, maybe. I mean, I'm going to Walt Disney World next year, so I maybe need to catch up, because that's when the Star Wars land's going to be there, I think, so.
Yeah, because that's what you need for rides and stuff, is the lore. That's what you'll be thinking when you're on the road.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Man, if only I understood the lore behind this.
That's he's just going to be going around, that's not canon.
That's not Jar Jar Binks. Where's Jar Jar? Where's the Jar Jar character meme?
Where's the Jar Jar world?
That's not what Jar Jar ride looks like.
I mean, I wouldn't mind doing one of those pod races. That'd be fun.
God, yeah. you really do just know the first film, don't you?
Yeah. I know that Darth Maul is a scary character, but he has a dual lightsaber. Ooh,
he's the only cool thing in all of the prequels.
Yeah.
The only thing that was cool. Spoiler alert, he dies in the first one. Unless you're into the whole extended Star Wars nonsense where he actually...
I really like him in the extended stuff, what they do, where they go with that. But in terms of the film, it's like, oh, you had a really good character.
But you get to see... Darth Vader before he was Darth Vader. Racing pods and playing with Jar Jar Binks.
Now this is pod racing.
What are you doing?
The fact that wasn't a voice line in the beta when you got into the Naboo Starfighter did annoy me a bit about Battlefront 2. although the droids, when you pay the officer to put down a turret, it's like, good luck, turret! Sold it for me. Done. I'm in. Sign me right up.
Christ. Right, well, it's been good. You have an enjoyable Sunday, everybody, and join us in 2 weeks' time, or in the week when we play games on twitch.tv/nerdable.
Don't forget to... Alan dies in PUBG a lot.
Yeah, oh, actually, PUBG Wednesday is now PUBG Pizza Party. If you join us...
You cut off there, what?
PUBG Wednesday is now going to be PUBG Pizza Party this Wednesday. We're going to be getting together and eating pizza while playing PUBG.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You say getting together, what you mean is sitting in our own individual rooms.
Yeah, all alone, pizzas. eating pizza, looking at other people eating pizza.
We're going to pretend that we're together.
But it's a PUBG Pizza Party. Everyone in the chat, they're going to have to go and order their own pizza.
You are so going to get your head blown off while you're trying to take a slice out of your pepperoni.
100%, and that's
what's
going to
be fun.
He's
going to go get a slice and get shot in the back of the head and go, oh, damn it.
Well, at least you have your pizza, though. So
exactly.
It's a win-win.
PUBG Pizza Party this Wednesday at 8 PM.
You're gonna get grease all over the key. Oh, it's not gonna be good, dude.
Are you joining us?
I might do. it depends on fine. I mean, I've got to have a pizza, so you know.
Exactly.
Depends on when that paycheck rolls in.
Or we could just beg for pizza on Twitch until someone comes along and donates. Panhandling on.
Should we just work on some? We'll work on a stream sponsor during the week.
Domino's.
I'll ask my local takeaway if they want to sponsor it for some free advertising.
No, because that doesn't benefit me.
That's not a sponsor. That's just advertising for free.
I get free pizza. That's fine. Oh, okay.
No, sorry.
Oh, just because you don't get the pizza.
Exactly. Anyway, right, we're trailing off. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe. Click that like, but I
visit the website.
Visit the website. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus. We're still on there, but we don't do anything on it.
Google Plus still going? God.
Apparently, this is dedicated.
That takes me.
I still get notifications every once in a while. Someone has plussed up your comment or something like that for a YouTube video.
What are you doing here?
Who's doing this?
What are you doing?
Why did they do this? Yeah.
Follow me on Elo and Bebo and MySpace.
I was going to say my MySpace is still going strong somewhere.
What else? Face Party. Fuck, what else?
Patreon.
Are we on Snapchat?
We're on Snapchat and Instagram, but they don't get as utilised. Fuck, nearly enough as they should. No, I'm going back. Follow me on AOL, Instant Messenger, before it gets shut down. follow me on MSN. No, so that doesn't exist anymore.
MSN's long gone, mate.
I know. What
Sad
else?
Day that.
Follow me on MSN chat back in the day.
Again, long gone.
Follow me on Limp Bizkit chat. That was a thing.
Justin TV.
Oh, God, now that's a throwback.
Follow me on Blogger TV. Blog Cam TV. Follow me on Cam Soda. Wait. And that. Bye.
Bye.